money from a forgotten savings account, uncashed payroll check, or a refund check that never got to you. It is estimated that one out of every 10 of us have unclaimed property. My name was on the list and yours could be too. Just go to findmassmoney.gov today. If you've seen your name already, check again. The list is always being updated, and make sure you fill out the paperwork so you can become reunited with your lost funds.
John Sewer and Drain Cleaning is the name to know when your drains don't flow. John Sewer is also hiring technicians at their Norwood location to handle growing demand in southeastern Mass. To join New England's most experienced team, go online to johnsewer.com to apply today.
We get the job done.
From the Catches Law Injury Attorney Studios. Every game, all season, no subscription needed. The Sox play here. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston, and Odyssey Sports Station. Now, here's what's in our feed.
And here's what's in the feed today on WEEI and WEEI.com. The Red Sox took the first of the three-game series against the Diamondbacks last night, 11-1. The Sox scored in six straight innings. They did not have a strikeout in the game, and they finished with 16 hits to maintain a six-game lead for the second American League wildcard. The second game of the series will be played tonight. First pitch from Fenway at 7:10. Our guy Christian Arcan will get you ready for the game beginning at 6:10 with the MassMutual pregame show. You can hear both right here on WEEI and all across the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox network, and of course on the Odyssey app. Summer's the easiest season for weight loss, warm weather, lighter meals, being outside. Your body is primed to succeed, and Awaken 180 has your game plan. Reach your goal this summer with Awaken 180, the official weight loss program of summer.
This is a WEEI special broadcast. It's the 24th annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, presented by Arbella Insurance. Here for the Jimmy Fund, here for good.
Now, live from Fenway Park,
it's Rich, Ken, and Ted.
It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich certainly, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, and we are live at Fenway for day number two of the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon, and I am looking at a number, and I am gobsmacked. I cannot believe we are at $3.4 million. Man. Absolutely insane, the generosity of this area. I can't believe it, and hearing these stories are so inspirational. And in just a moment, we are going to hear from someone who has been helped and some of the great people at Dana-Farber and the Jimmy Fund. But first, someone to kick things off. This is a special surprise. We got a call from is there a bigger presence in this town than Mr. David Ortiz, Big Poppy? Big Poppy, how's it going, man? How you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys? How's it going?
Hey. Good, buddy.
Good, man. Good to hear your voice. How listen, first of all, we appreciate everything you've done for the Jimmy Fund all these years, and this is obviously something that's near and dear to your heart, and you've, you know, been a massive part of it. How have you seen things kind of move along, and all the time you've spent with the Dana-Farber patients? It's a pretty special to you, isn't it, David?
I'll tell you what, man. I feel so blessed that I had a great career in Massachusetts, New England, Boston, because it was like an open book for me when it comes down to community service, when it comes down to spend time with others, dedicate time and effort to others, because, you know, disease are part of what we are, you know, and being able to go to being able to be part of the Jimmy Fund, Dana-Farber, Mass General, and all those hospitals where I spent so much time visiting kids and adults, you know, and people who were related to this terrible disease. It was something that it was a life experience for me.
David, I'm curious if you think it's, you know, professional athletes, do you think it's something that they should, you know, aspire to help with community and get involved and be volunteers in something big like this? Do you think it's something that they should, you know, more athletes should maybe try and get involved, because you obviously have, you know, that how you feel by giving back? Do you think it's something you want to see more guys do?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The engagement, the engagement that you create. Sometimes we have no idea the type of weapon that we have in our hands until you live it. You know, like, I can tell you a true story. I went to Dana-Farber a long time ago to do my rundown with kids. And I visited this kid who was really sick. And he don't want to eat. He was, you know, very sad and everything at the hospital. And I went there to spend some time with him, play around with him, you know, had a conversation with him. And then I move on. I went to some other places. And 6 months later into the season, his grandfather, who he have a company who do hard work for most of the university and college up in Boston, he was waiting for me at the parking lot. And he was inside the player parking lot, and I was coming out of the game after the game, and he went like, Mr. Ortiz, can I holler at you for a minute? And I was like, yes, sir, what can I do for you? And he was like, I just came here to say thank you to you because my grandson, since you visited him, he got so excited that he started eating. He started, you know, doing everything that he was told. And all of a sudden, I'm having a home running around all safe, cancer-free. And it only happened since you visit. That's why he told me. And I was like, oh, my God, you know, like, that was, to me, that was great news, and it was amazing. But sometimes we don't know the impact that we have in people. And that's why I agree with what you just asked, you know, for athletes and you know, musician and celebrity, they should get more involved in with this type of cause, because at the end of the day, it's a win-win.
Well, David, we'd be remiss to not ask you before you took off. What do you think of this Red Sox season, man? It has been insane. We have gone from, you know, what the hell's going on to, oh, my God, this is the greatest team on the planet. What do you think of what you've been seeing here under Chad Tracy?
The talent is there, man. The talent is there. You know, these kids, when they put it together, we probably have a few big names right now. Everything else is under the radar, but they are, you know, very talented, good kids. And the only way you're going to win games is doing what they're doing right now. Everybody bringing something to the table. It's not a one-man team, you know. Not even in my days was one-man team. It doesn't matter what I do. Everybody had to bring something to the table for us to end up winning a ball game. And that's what I'm seeing right now, you know. Breslow, Kennedy, Mr. John, the whole organization – stay very patient with everything that was going on at the beginning, because the organization know what they have. It was all about the guys putting it together, because it doesn't matter the type of manager you have. You need a good manager to keep everybody together, to keep everybody loose, you know. But at the end of the day, the players are the one who have to provide on the field to be able to win games. So that's what I'm seeing. The offense took off. Everybody's bringing something to the table. Their pitching has always been good. I know we don't have the big guy right now available, but it seems like everybody's stepping in to bring something to the table to win games, and hopefully everything continues throughout the season.
Well, David, I know your time is valuable. Next time we'll have you on, and just for an entire hour, we'll make fun of Bobby Valentine together. What do you think about that?
I totally forgot about that.
It was one of my favorite interviews we've ever done. You just went off on Bobby Valentine for about 30 minutes, and I couldn't have had a better afternoon. All right, well, David Ortiz, thank you so much for kicking off this Jimmy Fund Hour with us. It's such a great thing that you have been involved in from the very beginning, and thank you so much. And just quickly, if you could say anything to anybody who wants to, like, who's considering donating, what would you say to them, David?
I'll tell you what. Everyone that is listening out there, remember, we all are humans. Things happen. It's not to blame someone about what is going on. It's to help someone. That's what the Jimmy Fund is all about. So anything and everything that you can donate to continue helping people, continue helping kids. Please, please, go ahead. Do not hesitate. Go ahead and do it because it's needed.
You got it, David. Thank you so much, Big Poppy, for calling in. We really appreciate
it,
buddy.
Hey, thank you, guys.
All right, we'll see you soon. All right. And by the way, according to Big Poppy, you need to right now call 877-738-1234. And jimmyfund.org is another great way that you can donate. And who you are helping is why we're here. And we want to hear these stories because they are so inspiring. And we have with us today Mr. Thomas Paddock. He joins us as well as his beautiful wife. And I am so sorry.
Carol.
Thank you, Carol. His wonderful wife, Carol, and his doctor, Mr. Marios Janikis. Am I saying that correctly? Thank you so much. He's the medical oncologist, the Center for Gastrointestinal Oncology at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. And Tobias, you have had a very interesting journey when it comes to your time with your esophageal cancer. Can you tell us when you found out that you had it and what it was like and what led you to Dana-Farber?
I can. I will. I was experiencing difficulty swallowing, but I didn't think much of it. My counsel to myself was maybe I should eat a little more slowly, which is always a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it persisted, and I was under the wonderful care of a GP, my PCP, and she said that this isn't normal when I finally went in to see her, and had I'm difficult at pronouncing all these things, but endoscopy, and that's when they discovered that in fact had cancer. So that unfolded very quickly, and got a hold of. Well, I grew up in Cambridge, so I'm well aware of the wonderful work that Dana-Farber has done over the years.
Yeah,
and it's a pivotal place in cancer research and treatment. So I have the luxury, if you will, of just coming across the Charles River. And I had a friend who worked there and guided me in contacting him. Literally within a week, I had an appointment, and off we went.
The interesting thing about Dana-Farber that we're hearing from all the patients is that it seems to be so much different than one-stop shopping. It's never like you go there and they just have a cookbook on how to fix it. It's personalized care from everything we've heard. And on top of that, you know, if I'm not mistaken, most everyone has told us is that they become more than just your physician. They become someone who is, you know, almost a friend, a confidant. And along the way, and I'm sure you being by your husband's side the entire time, you have noticed this with Dana-Farber.
Absolutely. I was also fortunate enough to have their care 22 years ago.
Oh, wow.
I had breast cancer 22 years ago, and at the time I was in New Hampshire, and I came down to Dana-Farber, and, you know, here I am still. And so, yes, as soon as you make that connection with your physician, and, I mean, the nurses there are remarkable. The kindness is huge. And then, you know, we had a great surgeon, too. I know that was different. It wasn't Dana-Farber, but that was part of Tobias's treatment. Talk about how lucky are we, right,
yeah.
Just to to be here.
And Carol, in fact, was part of a clinical trial for
Neulasta.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Before it was formally introduced into the regime. And so 22 years later, that was part of...
That's right.
What I enjoy most about my treatment is giving Marios a hard time.
He's not giving you a hard time, is he, Dr. Marios?
You're not the only one.
So what has it been like? You know, because we talk about this physician-patient relationship, and it truly is a relationship, correct?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a true, as you can tell, pleasure and privilege. You'll pay me later. To be part of really a team. Yeah. And it is true that at the center of this piece is Tobias and Carol, but really, as mentioned, all of the rest of us are part of that. As are by the way, all the amazing people that help propel this field forward. Yeah. By the way, it was pretty cool to also hear from
Bihari. Cool is that?
Yeah, that was pretty cool. And again, it's amazing to see people really giving back. Yeah. But it is really an outstanding privilege to be part of a team, both with you, Tobias, and Carol, but also at Dana-Farber. Mm. I've been there for 15 years practicing, and I would never change it. Yes.
Tobias, can I ask you, I see that you were an Army chaplain at one point. What does your relationship with faith, how does that help you when you're going through something like this?
It's an interesting, and it continues, test of faith.
Yes.
If you were what I believe, you know, Carol said, why you? And I say, why not me? I mean, it's not something we would wish on anyone, of course.
Yeah.
But I continue to feel, and Dr. Giannakis will affirm, I often say I'm very fortunate, and I am, for the care I've received, which is not available to many people. So that's the piece that I focus on, is how fortunate I am to be able to receive the treatment that I'm alive. You know, I just turned 70, so I figure I got maybe 18, 20 more years.
I'll give you the exact number. Yeah.
I'm not as appealing as, not appealing is, sorry, that's the wrong word, but, you know, the work that's done with children, of course, is, I will dare say, I can only speak for myself, most important to me, the younger. You know, I'm at the far end.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But I appreciate the care that's given to all ages. You know, people I meet in the waiting area, there's a camaraderie, if you will, of those of us who are going through treatment.
You were diagnosed before you're supposed to take a trip to Europe, correct? And go on the river. So it was a little bit of luck that you caught it when you did, it sounds like. And but I'm curious just how that was. And then also, did you get to go on your European river cruise ever?
Yeah. No,
you did.
We had planned it so long ahead that there was no way we're not going. and because the age that we live in with mobile phones and all this, I stayed in contact with Dana-Farber, and again, they were superb. I mean, it's everyone is treated with a high degree of respect and care that is just extraordinary. Sadly, you know, having worked in the hospital and served as a chaplain, you know, I know how uneven care can be.
Yes.
But Dana-Farber is extraordinary in its openness and its generosity to everyone that I see.
And doctor, can you talk about what Tobias is dealing with? He had one symptom, right? Which was just trouble swallowing, and you were able to diagnose it off that.
That's right, yeah. And unfortunately, it is a common symptom for patients who have this disease. In the United States, we don't screen routinely for esophageal cancer, unlike, for example, colon cancer, right? That everyone says, go get your colonoscopy.
Yeah.
So it is important to kind of pay attention to symptoms, and you did that. And kudos to you and your primary care physician for recognizing this is not normal. So one take-home point is, yeah, always listen to your body, right? Mm-hmm. And pursue something that doesn't feel normal. But yeah, after that, we were, again, as you mentioned, fortunate in our misfortune to catch this early. So this was kind of a cancer that was really in that location. Mm-hmm. And Tobias and Carol did a lot of hard work undergoing therapies, including chemotherapy, radiation, surgery, and a new therapy, a relatively new therapy, immunotherapy, to make sure this stays gone. And again, with a couple of blips along the way, we're still in a position to say that we don't have any evidence of the cancer right now.
Right.
So we're kind of on our way to a cure. You know, obviously we need to keep observing and looking, you know, for the next few years. But keeping our fingers crossed and, of course, you know, everything we have in our armamentarium to keep this away.
Well, stories like yours are what get that number at 3.4 million right there. It's truly inspiring. And having you, all three of you here,
It's so great to hear time after time after again, everyone that we've been speaking with talking about how this is a very, very special place, the Jimmy Fund and Dana-Farber. And take it from me, my wife had cancer 4 times, and you know we know how care can be one way and how it can be at Dana-Farber. It truly is a special place. And thank you so much for telling your story today. It means a lot. Yep. And thanks for hanging out with Big Poppy for a little bit.
Yeah, nice.
That was kind of nice. It's always nice when randomly we get a call from him.
Yeah. I'd spoken to him earlier and asked if
he was a chaplain.
That's right. You know, send a couple prayers to the Red Sox. We could use that. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in. We really appreciate it. And if you want to donate, you can donate now. 877-738-1234. We have some great volunteers right here waiting for your call. You can also go to jimmyfund.org or text to give. Any amount. Text K Cancer to 56512. Chad Tracy, your interim manager. Why is he still an interim? I don't know. But he's your interim manager. He should be the full time. From your Boston Red Sox will join us in 2 minutes. And we are live from Fenway, where I'm looking at a number of $3.4 million, which is absolutely insane. Let's go for the record today. We, of course, are right now taking your calls, your donations, 877-738-1234. Also, jimmyfund.org is where you can donate as well. And we've got Caleb Durbin coming on a little bit later on in the hour, as well
and Anthony Siegler.
Anthony Siegler is too. We had Big Poppy on. And now, the interim manager, which I know it gets old me saying this, get rid of that stupid interim. Chad Tracy joins us. Thanks for coming here. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having
me. No problem. Before we get to all the Jimmy Fund stuff, there's been a lot of really good news as far as people coming back to the team. You know, we've got Roman tonight in Portland, right?
Yes.
This evening? That's got to be cool. Trevor, a story, I believe he was quoted in saying that he might be back as soon as Friday. Once again, that's a quote from him.
Yeah.
Two things on that. Do you think that that's a reality? And also, you know, when he comes back, where do you put him? You know, because it's a good problem to have, but it is an interesting thing that you're a predicament you're in.
Yeah, there's dynamics to that as far as the group that's here. Shortstop's where you put him. Like, he's a good shortstop. It's you know, but as far as when he comes back, like, physically, he probably could then. It's just talking through, like, where is he at physically? How does he feel? Like, do we feel like he can play every day at that point? Do you need to push a few more at-bats? So, like, we'll have more conversations around that after tomorrow. He's scheduled to play today and tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then we'll have more conversations around that. Like, do we need to accrue some more at-bats and get together as a group and decide? But, like, when he does come, shortstop with what he's capable of doing, if we get him right, and the home run ability, like, it makes the most sense, you know. And then we have to navigate around that that reality when that happens.
And how do you navigate Monasterio's role when he does come back?
Mona's got to play, you know. So, I mean, you guys have seen what he's done over the course of the last month and a half, how well he swung the bat versus right and left. So, you know, we'll look at it, but, like, you know, he's played, you know, prior to, you know, all the injuries happening, Mona was sliding all over the place, third base, shortstop, second. He can play second. So, like, there's realities there where you have to mix and match with other guys, but, like, keeping him involved in some heavy way is important because of how good the quality of the at-bat has been.
First off, your shoes, your kicks are awesome.
They match the shirt.
I love those shoes, and they do. They match the shirt. Those are cool. I got to get me a pair. But I want to ask you just the bullpen. I mean, the bullpen has been one of the biggest strengths for this team all season long.
Yeah.
It looks like it's kind of wearing down a little bit. Any concerns about the bullpen moving forward?
No. I mean, you're right. It's beat up. I think when you looked, you probably could have, like, looked at our schedule. You know, obviously I wasn't looking at the big league schedule at the beginning of the year. Right. But as you got here, you look at the schedule and you saw that first stretch of 16 with the West Coast swings. Yeah. And then this one, now we're on the tail end of two games of 16 or 17 in a row. Mm. And, like, you kind of, like, circle those, and you're like, especially this one, as you approach the end of August, you almost circle that and say, I wouldn't be surprised if we have some guys banged up at that point. And not just pitchers, but you look around the league and see some of the stuff happening, oblique, rib, just different guys. It's the dog days. It's been hot. It's the summer, and guys start getting beat up. So we're in that spot, obviously, with Slayton Witt down for now. Like, we hopefully get them back and working them back to where you got them for the stretch run. But I think that's why, like, Eric Miller was such an important acquisition. And you saw Wyatt Olds last night coming from our system at 98 miles an hour with that curveball. So, like, you have these things. Every team has it, and you have to navigate through and find your way through. We're reaching an off day here soon, which is huge. I think we play six games and then another off day. We haven't had that in quite some time, so that's gonna help get some people kind of back to health.
Any good MRI news from?
I'm still waiting to hear from the doctors today, but we'll see what comes of that.
Speaking of pitching, so Peyton Tolley, this is the most he's pitched in a season so far. But my goodness, like he has just over the last several times out just evolved into a superstar.
Yeah.
Like, what are your thoughts on that? Because you know that, you know, obviously this is the most he's pitched, but my God, he's pitching better than anybody right now.
Yeah, he's been incredible. Yeah. And it was cool the last two, like two different ways. It was like big, you know, 14 strikeouts in one and then hardly any. It's a product of the team you're playing. The Blue Jays put the ball in play.
Yeah.
But did it with fewer pitches and just, you know, weak contact outs. Like, he can do it in a lot of ways. He's been amazing. Watching him navigate, like you said, he's going to reach innings high totals. We're with him and Jake doing our very best to like try to insert, like yesterday with Bayo in the pen, insert starts to make sure they're on 6-7 days rest, as much rest as we can possibly get them.
Yeah.
To navigate through this last month or so of the season and make sure that we manage that. But he's shown a lot of signs of looking as strong as he has all year at this point, which is really good to see.
You spoke at it.
Are you expecting anything from Garrett Crochet this season?
I hope so. For me to say right now, yeah, I expect this would be, you know, crazy just based on the fact that he is throwing again, but it's, you know, short, really short distance and increasing volume. So it's hard to say right now if I can say, oh yeah, we expect this. I think it would be better to say, like, if we end up getting him there, that becomes a really, really welcome addition if we can get there. That's probably a better way of wording it. And do I think that's going to have him built up to 6 innings? No, I don't even think the calendar will allow for that. But Garrett Crochet is elite when he's right. And if you get him right, and even if you were able to get him right and say, hey, he's built up to be able to go out there and throw 3 innings or something, like, we'll take that. But it's just a matter of how he progresses along over the course of the next month.
Chad, we have Durbin and Siegler coming on in about half an hour. Those guys had a little taste of postseason run last year with Milwaukee. You have a team that has some postseason experience here and there. How do you think this team is built for that kind of a run?
I think that's important, like that piece of it, that those guys were around a playoff team. You know, obviously we have some guys on our team that were a part of a playoff team a year ago. So we're not void of you know, September meaningful baseball as far as the players on the team, which is important this time of year that guys have been there and done that. And obviously with, you know, with Rafa Abreu, if we get Roman back, all these guys were a part of that. So like they are experienced in playing in pressure September environments, which will be important for us because we're getting close to that.
What are you watching for in Roman when he's playing in Portland?
I think I know what I'm going to see. I think for him it's mostly health, but like you just watch the plate discipline piece. That's always been the number one characteristic of him is he knows what a strike is and what a ball is.
Yeah.
He knows when to swing and when not to swing. So I'll just be watching, you know, easy access for me to click and like watch the ABs, see where he's at, like what does he look like with his tempo and his rhythm, like what's he swinging at.
Yeah.
Those are things I think first and foremost. Like I typically feel like with Roman, if he's choosing the right pitches to swing at, we're in a good spot because when he chooses the right one to swing, I usually hit some really hard.
Yeah.
So we'll just kind of watch and navigate through that. And then you communicate with him, like, how are you feeling? And these guys are honest. They're pros. They know how they feel and where they're at with their swing and stuff. But you, for me, having been around him a lot, it's pretty obvious to me when he's right. You can just tell by the swings. A lot of times you can just tell by the take.
And that's what it is. It's like, so it takes, like, you noticing that he is kind of back to what he was. There's no real timetable, but once you see that, you believe that it's time to call him up.
Yeah, you want to make sure with the player accrues enough at bats to feel good about it, you know?
Because
it's like playing golf, you know? You don't play golf for a while. You go out the first time, and you could probably be pretty good, and the second time you go out, it's horrible.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
So, like, it's allowing them to, you know, okay, it feels pretty good, but, like, accrue some at-bats.
Yeah.
And once you start with the player, once you start to feel like you get to that point where you're like, I've taken 5, 6, 7 pretty good at-bats in a row.
Yeah.
Usually means you're controlling your tempo, your timing, you're controlling your load, all those things.
Yeah.
That's usually what leads to success in the batter's box. So, like, and it's easy to see that, you know, just based on, I said a lot of times it's based on a take, you know, how aggressive is a take? Did it look like he's about to offer it something that wasn't even close? That's, as a hitter, finding the balance on that.
That's cool to me. You can tell if they're locked in by whether or not they don't have to swing the bat.
It's pretty simple. Right. If you know they're in hit mode and you see a borderline pitch and it's just a nice, easy, quiet take, like I saw that right out of the hand, you can tell. So and they can tell too. Yeah. As a hitter, you feel that. As somebody that's watching, as an evaluator, you can see that.
What with a little less than 40 games left, what things would you like to see your team improve on? Maybe little things, minor things, but what would you like to see in these last 40?
I'd like to see us play like last night a lot God, that a was lot awesome. Down the stretch. Like, yeah. Like last night was great.
Apparently your MIT guy's back, the one who's hacking into the
of course pitch he is, system. Yeah. No, like last night was – we did everything right. So many things right that like over the you know the course of the last week that we had been – things that made us so good for 6+ weeks was we were, you know, we executed at a high level. If we needed a bunt down, we got it down. If we got people over third base, we needed a sack fly. The ball was in play. The starts were great. The bullpen. So
do you call that the situational baseball at all? Is that what you guys referenced?
Situational baseball was exceptional. We were really good at it. It's what made us good. We did a nice job of getting on. We talked with you guys a lot about getting on starting pitchers where you build a lead, play from the lead, and then you're now facing maybe the middle part of a team's bullpen instead of the back end.
Yeah.
This last week, we kind of weren't doing those things. You know, we were playing from behind, having trouble scoring off starters, weren't executing as well. But you go through spurts like that in a baseball season. It happens. Like there are periods where like you get to those dog days and the focus lacks a little bit, and then yesterday we were locked in, focused, and did everything right. We got great pitching. The bullpen was good. We executed situationally. We got hits. A bunch of guys that needed to start to feel some good swings again felt them. So that type of game, we don't have to win, you know, whatever, the 11-1 every night. But, like, that type of execution is what we need. And I think the focus will be there with this stretch coming up and these guys knowing we're getting closer to September. Like, that's the kind of focus we need.
Well, I'm not going to say that it's karma, but you guys with the Red Sox have walked the walk when it comes to helping out with the Jimmy Fund.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, yesterday it's like, I mean, you guys are all in, which has been awesome. It's been great talking to all the different players. We've got even more coming up. So, I mean, obviously that's something that not only means a lot to the players, but I would have to think that just around the team, this means a lot to you guys.
Yeah, this is cool for me because like I've been watching this from afar for 4 years. You know, like you, I know this event, never been around it like this. I didn't know all this was going
on. Welcome.
So we watch in Worcester in my office, and you see the telethon days, and you get to watch like what's going on.
Yeah.
And you have a very good sense from where I was at that like, all right, this means a lot to the organization. But then when you actually are here in it and see it, you're like, yeah, this means a lot to the organization.
No joke. Yeah, yeah.
This is a big operation, but it's cool. It's cool to be a part of it. It's cool to see our players be a part of it. Obviously it's a topic in cancer that like affects, I bet everybody in this room, if you said, do you know somebody that in your personal life that's been affected by cancer, the answer would probably be yes. Yeah. I have a handful. So, it touches a lot of people as far as, this topic and to see what our organization does to help raise funds for the families and for research. It's an amazing thing.
Could you kind of feel the emotion last night in the park and around, you know, so many people around it? Just
it's cool watching the other team had the t-shirts on.
That was awesome.
That was class cool. Move. Like I didn't that's see cool. that at first. I walked out and like they had them on. So like it's again to me that speaks to a team that's coming in that's not really involved in it, but the people look and say, yeah, that matters to me because it affects everybody in some way, whether it's directly or, you know, if it's a family member or friend has some type of experience with dealing with that, and it means a lot to a lot of people, and you could feel that last night.
Yeah, it's such a great event, and it is cool to be in the middle of it. This is my first year as well doing this, so as I said, it's overwhelming in a good way.
Yeah,
and no seeing question. That number is overwhelming too.
Yeah.
3.4 million, which is great. Chad, hopefully you get another one like we did last night.
That would be awesome.
The blowouts are fun.
They are. They're very low stress.
Yes, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming, and we really appreciate it.
Thanks,
and if you would like to donate, 877-738-1234 or jimmyfund.org. And Chad Tracy is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network, by Arbella Here for Baseball Fans Here for Good, and by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. Caleb Durbin, and we're going to have Anthony Siegler as well?
Yeah.
All right. They're going to be coming up before the end of the hour. Also, great stories, inspirational stuff from the patients and doctors over at the Jimmy Fund. We will get to that right after this. And we are live at Fenway Park, and I am looking at a number right now, $3.4 million. I am absolutely blown away by the generosity of all the people who have been watching and listening to the telethon. Let's set a record today, shall we?
We have a chance. We're kind of tracking to last year's record, 5.7, which would be amazing. Amazing.
That would be amazing because, I mean, we blew away the year before. So if we can beat last year's, that's saying something.
That would be nice. And listen, when we've got the athletes coming by, we're going to have Caleb Durbin and Anthony Siegler here in just a few. But it's they're obviously support of it, and the stories of the patients and the doctors as well. And it's awesome to hear
just from the people that they help, that Dana-Farber helps and the Jimmy Fund helps, just what a great organization you are donating to. And you could donate at 877-738-1234 or thejimmyfund.org. And patients, much like the beautiful four-year-old Stella Burkhard McNichols, who is sitting across from us with the greatest headband I think I've ever seen, complete with red socks and diamonds and rubies.
All glammed up.
All glammed up for her big appearance today. And with her today is her mother, Elizabeth, a father, Brad, and a 14-year-old brother, Jack. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
it.
Thank you.
Elizabeth, can you tell me about when you first found out about what was going on with your daughter?
So when she was a few weeks old, she started to get some spots on her legs. Didn't think much of it. Maybe were there bruises. She was being active. But her pediatrician said that maybe we should have some genetic testing. And Dr. McLaughlin at the North End Waterfront Health kind of pushed us, and we did it. So we knew she had a genetic disease called NF1, okay. And with that comes some complications, but you don't really know. It could be nothing. It could be, you know, what we're going through.
Yeah. as your daughter is slowly taking her shoes and socks off, you got to get comfy, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take my shoes off, too.
You know what? you don't want me to take my shoes off. Trust me. Stinky. Absolutely.
And then this past November. Yeah, she, as part of her NF, we go and have her eyes checked every 3 or 6 months, depending. And when from one visit to the next, there was significant loss in vision. So we,
she loves her brother. She's grabbing his hand.
Our optometrist at Children's, Dr. Johnston, really pushed everything through very quickly. And a week later, we were at the Jimmy Fund.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dad, can I ask you about what it's like at the Jimmy Fund? I mean, you know, it's obviously, they're doing very serious work. It's very serious diseases. But they somehow try to make it fun for these kids. What has been your experience with your daughter at the Jimmy Fund?
So we're kind of in like what they call a maintenance phase now. So we're there 4 weeks on, 2 weeks off. And I feel like the 2 weeks off, she can't wait to get back there.
That's amazing.
She's developed a lot of friends there because we're kind of on the same schedule with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And just everyone there treats her amazingly. She walks in. There's people waiting for her to play with her. The nurses are spectacular. She's got a favorite nurse who went to the same grammar school that she's in now.
Oh my gosh.
Just by, you know, small world. So we walked in one day with her school uniform on, and our nurse was like, I went to that school, you know. So it's like,
it's where she goes to see her best friends. Oh, calls everybody her best friends.
Yeah,
that's awesome. That's nice.
Yeah.
Jack, how you doing, buddy? How's this been for you? See your little sis have to deal with this And how you feeling, buddy?
I mean, the Jimmy Fund's helped her a lot with just being able to go. And she loves being at the hospital and stuff, so it's weight off my mind.
What's she into, Jack?
She's into that microphone.
ballet?
She does some ballet classes back home.
Pretty cool.
And a lot of Barbies.
Big fan of Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Taylor Swift song?
What's your favorite Taylor Swift?
They're all good, aren't they? Absolutely, they're all good. So there's, you know, it's an interesting place where you guys have seen what they've been able to do, and it seems to be an ongoing theme that the kids love going to a place where they're getting cancer treatment, which from the outside looking in sounds so different, but it is a special thing about Dana-Farber, is it not, Mom?
You can't explain how wonderful it is. The kids at school, when she tells them she's going to chemo, they say, I want to go to chemo. Because the story she comes back with and the things she did and the activities and all the things, I mean, chemo is where she goes to have fun, where she's a kid, where she gets to do all the things that she should be doing.
Ugh. Yeah. And it's not like that everywhere. Dana-Farber just and the Jimmy Fund, it's like they figured out some special ingredient to just make these kids feel special and loved and happy and fun and feel like kids while they're there. Isn't that right?
I always say that people need to study how they do it because there's no place
they
like
set
it.
The standard.
Oh, I mean, It's so easy.
Is there for you guys, the parents, Brad, is there a support group? Do you guys have a community of parents that you guys can talk to that understand what you're going through?
Yeah, again, like I said, because of the kind of like the track you're on when you're there, you're seeing a lot of the same families that are there because they're there. You know, we go Tuesdays. We just came from there today. So a lot of the people we're seeing are there every Tuesday. So, as she gets to know the kids to play with, we get to know the families that are there. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth has become very good friends with another mom there. They talk all the time about what they're going through. Like, she looks forward to seeing, her girlfriend who's there, Ava, every week. And we look forward to seeing the parents as well when we get to go there.
Jack, is she able to get away with anything she wants to at home?
Well, not everything, but...
He complains she gets away with more than he did.
We're a little older.
Of course. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate you, telling our story. And Stella, as I said, you should sell those headbands. They are the coolest I've ever seen.
Yeah, they are cool. Look at that bracelet.
No, they're not. So you got
only for me.
It's like just for me. Not going to be selling those, but we really appreciate it. And Elizabeth, thanks for coming on and telling your story.
You
and Brad. And Jack, you. If want to, in a couple of minutes, Caleb Durbin and Anthony Siegler are going to be right here. So if you want to hang out and meet two of the Red Sox, they are about to walk through that door any minute.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you so much for coming out. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
You can call and donate at 877-738-1234 or jimmyfund.org, or you can text to give any amount. The word KCANCER 56512 is how you do it, and we will be right back. Caleb Durbin and Anthony Siegler from your Boston Red Sox will join us next. It is 93.7 WEEI. Rich Shurtleff, Ken Laird, three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson, live from Fenway for the WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fun Radio Telethon, and we are at $3.5 million, an awe-inspiring number. We are on track, hopefully, to break the record. Let's cross our fingers. Listen, if you are one of those big money donors out there, we will take it.
That's
absolutely.
What we need, the anonymous donor guy.
I love anonymous donor guy, no question. And if you want to donate, you can call 877-738-1234 or online at jimmyfund.org. Okay, this was so great. I went to go use the restroom, and I come back, and sitting on the couch is Caleb Durbin and Anthony Siegler, and Anthony and Ted Johnson are talking, getting jacked, like lifting weights. And they're like, you lift four plates? Yeah, man, lifting four plates. And I want to jump into that conversation, but as you can tell, I got nothing to add.
I had a feeling that these guys, we were of like mind, so I brought it up, and they wanted to continue the conversation, which I appreciate. I'm always impressed. These guys, the long season they have, and they work so hard in the off season to get themselves at the peak performance. And it's hard to maintain that throughout a long season. So we were just talking about the schedule and that stuff, but it led to other fun conversations about training and working out. We've come a long way in understanding how exercise and training can benefit you as an athlete. So very nice to meet these guys for the first time. Cool dudes.
Yeah. Can you get too jacked, Anthony, in baseball? Like, is that a bad thing to be too jacked?
I don't know. I feel like you got to ask Derbs. Like,
he's obviously not that worried about it.
Look at his physique. It's a lot better than mine. But I think he works on the up traps, here more than like his
seems
arms
like every lift I do, somehow my traps get a workout, and I'm not sure how. But you'll have to talk to JD about that.
It's so funny because baseball players
They
run the gamut. Like, baseball players can either be like really tough or in shape, and then you can get like a pitcher who gets out there who's just like, looks like Grimace and will just like kill you out there. It's really all over the map, isn't it?
It is. I feel like it is. It's there's a lot of types of physiques, but I mean, we're all athletic at the end of the day, and we do our job really well, I feel like.
Yep. We do.
All right, we got to talk, Caleb, about this was such a great story this season with you. So the beginning of the season, for a lot of people, didn't start off the way that everyone wanted it to, and you were in a little bit of a slump. But then a story came out where you visited a man by the name of Lorenzo here in town, the batting guru. People say that he's like the Yoda of hitting. And almost immediately afterwards, you go on this tear. Did something happen there, or was it just a coincidence, or did this Lorenzo kind of teach you something that maybe you didn't see?
I think there's a lot that goes into, making the adjustments you need to make during the season. I think one thing he did help me with was just keeping my hands tighter to my body and staying inside the ball and keeping my direction to the middle of the field. So it kind of opened up the entire field, which is, that's fundamental hitting. And I kind of got away from it a little bit, whether it was trying to do too much or trying to, you know, hit it over the monster every time, you know, I'm not positive. It took me a while to get out of it, but yeah, he just kind of sat me down, was like, hey, this is what you need to get better at. This is what I think I could help you with. And we just went to work. Took way more swings than I've ever taken this year, you know, away from the field, which, you know, you got to do what you got to do. So it ended up working out and, you know, obviously feeling a lot better.
How'd you find this guy? Like, how did you find him?
Narvaez, Carlos Narvaez. It's his hitting guy. So he reached out to Carlos actually and said, hey, I want to work with Durbin. I think I could help him. And, you know, the rest is kind of history.
Oh,
I can't imagine mentally what you guys are thinking about when it comes to a swing. You know, so I'm going to try and forgive me if I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. So when I take golf lessons, it's like I can hear somebody give me a you know, a thought, an idea, and it just doesn't feel right. And then someone says something in a way in which it all kind of makes sense, and I just, boom, I get it. Is that the same way maybe with hitting? If you hear explained to you a certain way that all kind of just comes in focus, does it work that way?
Yeah, it's really incredible. I think if you haven't, you know, played the game at, you know, a high level, you might not realize how fine of a line it is between being bad and being really good.
I get
it's like you said, it's something clicking in your head. And obviously you got to make the physical adjustments, but even just the mental approach to the game is a whole nother thing that, you know, just being settled into a new city finally, you know, all that kind of goes into play too.
And Anthony, I feel like when you came, you were the vibes guy right away. How's the vibe now? And did you have to work with these guys to get it to where you wanted it?
No, I feel like it was always there.
Don't be humble. No.
I think it's always been there. I mean, baseball is a long season, like they both said. It's it takes time. I think definitely being around a bunch of new guys kind of takes a little bit of time to be like, get close to everybody and know how everybody works mentally, physically, at the field or away from the field. I mean, I don't think it's just one person, because it's all nine and then more on the bench that need to be together. So,
but there's one Tony Seagulls, right? I mean, you know?
Yeah, but there's also one Derbinator.
That's true. Those two great nicknames.
That's
right there,
man. That's it. How are you guys? Just your experience. You're both new to Boston. You're feelings on the playing here. I know it wasn't easy, you know, early in the season, winning games here at Fenway. Now it's totally different. It just feels like you guys are more comfortable.
We knew we were going to turn it around. We felt like the fans were going to rally behind us. And game like last night where it's just electric, it's sold out every single night. And it was early in the season too when we weren't playing too well. So, you know, credit to the fans for that. But definitely don't want to start off slow here in this city, but you know, we were where we're at, and we were able to kind of turn it around and in a much better spot now.
You know, in a season of, like, you know, some great things that have happened, there is one dumb storyline that I'm obsessed with, and that is that Chad Tracy still has the interim tag on his name. Do you believe that should be gone from Chad Tracy's title?
I mean, I think everybody would love it for it to be just like away from where it is now. I mean, I think he's done a great job with us. He knows what we need to do. He knows how our bodies feel consistently, I feel like. And so for him to adjust schedules, and just being able to talk to us, slow everybody down is huge. I mean, so I think it would be an honor for him just to take that away and, just give him that like manager title. I mean, he's done a great job. I love him. I think I can speak for everybody in that clubhouse that he's done a wonderful job of handling the situation and hasn't made it too big, and he's just helping us just like really bring us together and just win.
Speaking of winning, you guys had a little taste of the playoffs last year. What's the one thing like you learned from that run that you can take and bring to this team that you guys got a taste of?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little bit different of a ball game. Once you get to playoffs, it's like every pitch is the last pitch of the ninth inning, you know, from the first pitch. So just kind of having that experience and settling into it from game one, rather it take, for me, it really took, you know, game three of the divisional round is when it kind of settled in. Those first couple games, you know, your heart's racing. It feels like you're debuting all over again. So having that experience is huge. Obviously, we'll go even further this year with the squad we got here. But I mean, we're just excited for it.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask you, there is the report times, ever since, I guess, you guys came in from Colorado late, and we're here for the Yankee series, and I know you guys even made shirts about, like, you know, like the late arrival crew or
show,
something
show
like that.
And go.
Yeah. Show and go, yeah. Ever since then, I've heard reports that your report time is later now, like, to be at the park. Is that for a reason, or is that superstition? Because ever since that happened, you guys kind of took off.
I don't think it's really superstition. I think it's just, like I said, Trace knows how our body feels. He has a great feel of the whole team. I mean, whether you want to come in early, because you can still get that option to come in early, get your work in.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you also have the option to come in later. I think it definitely helps, because we're baseball players. It's a long season.
Yeah.
And then I think that extra time just gives us time to, if we got family in town, chop it up with them. We got friends in town, chill with them. Just, it gives us stuff outside of baseball to do, a little bit more time instead of having to be rushed, especially in the morning. And then, like, maybe like that 15 inning game that we had, or no, is it 11 inning?
Like
13 inning game like we had with the White Sox. I mean, that late report time is huge. So it just gives us a little bit more time to recover and all that. But yeah, I don't think it's superstition. It's I mean, he knows how our bodies are and how mentally draining, like, every game is.
Does somebody wash that Wally head? Because does it smell awful when you put that thing on?
You think it'd smell worse, honestly.
Yeah,
they must wash it.
Yeah, they have
nearly
to wash
as bad
it.
As it should, especially with this guy putting it on. I mean, you got Bowser putting it on.
Yeah,
it smells way too good.
Way too good.
Not to clean it.
Personally, I'm not, like, when I put it on, I'm not sniffing it and smelling it all around. So I guess that's the only one.
Oh, yeah, admit it, you are. I mean, it's a bunch of sweaty guys running around the base. Put that thing on, you're just wiping the sweat all over it. I don't know what. Sitting at home, just like, that thing must smell awful.
And was Rafaela pissed that you stole his ice in the veins move, or was that
it?
He didn't bring it up. I don't even remember doing it. He did the homer, and I was like, what do I do now?
He just panicked and just did that.
Yeah. Like, do I clap? What do I do now?
I'm glad you put that out there, what that meant, because it could, you know, for some people, it means something totally different.
No, ice debate. Ice water.
I'm getting high.
I don't know. I mean, you know.
Just getting the IV, hydration IV. Yeah, that's all it is.
It's like,
there you go.
Yeah, but this is so cool, because I was telling Chad this earlier. The Red Sox put their money where their mouth is when it comes to Jimmy Fund. You guys all show up. You do the interviews. You know, the charity is obviously something that's important to you guys. So when you're here doing something like this, this is a big part of the culture of the team. And I know that you guys are new to, but, you know, when you see this and how big this whole event is, you know, what does that say to the people, like, what you think about the people of Boston and how they're able to, like, donate $3.5 million so far to this?
Yeah, it's everything. I think being on the outside for, you know, my whole life, and now being a part of it, from the outside looking in, you see how big of an influence the Red Sox organization has within the Boston community. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, a big reason why the fans rally around the team so much is, you know, the Red Sox mean so much to the city and to the kids that are going through tough times. It's, you know, everything for them too. So to now be a part of it and see it firsthand is super cool.
Yeah. Not only the kids, but the families too. I mean, it speaks volumes to, like, I mean, you see it with when we have games here sold out.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. And then it's not surprising that everybody in Boston is just supporting. It's amazing to see. It's amazing to now be a part of. Like he said, this is our first year doing this. So it's pretty incredible just to have how everybody just kind of rallies around everybody and is all in support of just wanting to help the kids, the families, and they have no idea how much this means to them and everybody else.
And you know what? It's not only do we able to come here and help raise some money, but you're able to talk lifting weights, crushing plates with Ted Johnson over here.
Exactly.
I'm going to get some more pointers when we get off the air. But I admire the hell out of these guys. They got to keep themselves sharp throughout this season when they don't have a lot of time to do it. So keep it up, boys. And I'm going to be one of your biggest fans now that we met. So very nice to meet y'all.
Great to meet you.
Let's get another blowout, baby. That was fun last night.
Absolutely.
Let's do it again.
Yes, sir.
All right. Anthony Siegler, Caleb Durbin, great stuff. Thank you guys for coming up and helping us. And if you want to donate to the Jimmy Fund, Dana-Farber, you've heard how important it is from the patients themselves. 877-738-1234 or jimmyfund.org. You can text to give any amount. K-Cancer at 565-12. We will be back in 2 minutes.